are Locked On Giants, your daily San Francisco Giants podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to Locked On Giants Baseball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name's Ben Caspick, and on this show, for now, we provide episodes 3 days a week talking about the San Francisco Giants in a way that's data-driven and rational, but also simple, passionate, and accessible to all. Coming up on today's show, I want to talk a little bit about Donovan Solano, Alex Dickerson, and likely Mike Yastrzemski being named on this MLB Network Top 10 Right Now show as obviously among the top 10 at their positions. This is obviously an unscientific list, and it's a little bit subjective. Actually, the point of the show is that it's supposed to be based on just raw data and numbers. But so I want to talk a little bit about that, how these guys were acquired, and why I think Giants fans should be really pleased with the direction of this team. As I said, my name is Ben Caspick. I've been a writer for the baseball analysis sites Beyond the Box Score and FanGraphs as a Rotographs contributor. And I had before this, I had a podcast called CoveCast talking about the Giants that I started in 2015. I began hosting this show prior to the 2019 season, so we're coming up on 2 years of doing this. But so it caught my eye. I've been following Mike Petriello on Twitter, and he puts out, you know, he's a part of these shows. Petriello is a former FanGraphs writer himself and now a writer for MLB.com, always putting out really good, high-quality, data-based content, in my opinion. But so he's on these shows that air on MLB Network, and the idea, for those of you who are unfamiliar with this Top 10 Right Now show, they do it before every season, and they have something called The Shredder, which basically just looks at numbers, and they have a formula. They don't look at just the most recent season, but they weight it more heavily, and they look at, I think, the last 3 years. I don't know exactly how they do it, but the point is they have some formula that comes up with the list. But also on the show, the analysts have their own lists, and so they're not just going by the Shredder, but the Shredder is the one that ultimately has the final say, so to speak. And so Solano, a couple of days ago at the second base position, came in at number 7 on the Shredder's list. I want to reemphasize, I'm not saying just because Solano came in 7th means he's the 7th best second baseman in baseball. But the point is, he's not the worst. And in fact, he appears to be a pretty good player. There's certainly some red flags in his offensive profile. And red flags may not be the right word, but indicators of unsustainability. But I just want to talk about him, Alex Dickerson, who also appeared on this list. And then in right field, Mike Yastrzemski will inevitably be on the list as well. And then, like, comparing that, we're going to look at, for example, what's going on with the Colorado Rockies right now and what's going on with the Giants this offseason as they look to build off of what they've already been able to do. But I think what they've already been able to do is really positive, and we need to take a step back and recognize that. And so that's kind of what I want to do today. So Solano was acquired on a minor league contract prior to Farhan Zaidi's first season in 2019. And in 2019, Solano ended up playing in 81 games, so exactly half of the team's games. He had just 228 plate appearances, but as we all know, he really performed very well in those opportunities. He ended up hitting .330, .360 on base, .456 slugging. Really, the driver of his good performance is the batting average. If the batting average falls, there's not a ton of power to rely on, and there's not a ton of walks to drive up the on-base percentage if the batting average is lower. So the red flag is that he had a .409 average on balls in play, which is just unsustainably high. If it's going to be high but sustainable, perhaps you're looking more at like .350, .360 on the high end, but 409 is just not something that anybody sustains. But what did Solano do in 2020? Well, he had almost the same number of plate appearances, 203. The walk rate was about the same. The strikeout rate was about the same. He basically replicated exactly what he did the previous year, hitting 326, just 4 points lower than 330. He had a 365 on base percentage, 5 points higher than his 360 on base the previous year. And he had a 463 slugging, 7 points higher than his slugging the previous year. And again, he did it with a 396 average on balls in play, which again looks unsustainably high. But when you do that 2 years in a row, there's definitely some indication that you're, you know, he's more talented than people thought he was. Like when the Giants signed Donovan Solano on a minor league deal, nobody really paid attention, including Giants fans. But now we certainly are paying attention to Solano. He's definitely got like that Marco Scudero magic where he's just able to churn out base hits over and over again. Although he did kind of fizzle off at the end of last year, and I would not imagine that he can sustain this like 400 average on balls in play. Yet there's no doubt he's been a great find. There's just no doubt. So with the Giants now, he's had 431 plate appearances and been 20% above average offensively. He's not as bad defensively as people think. He actually did fine in 2019. I think this year, for whatever reason, he really struggled. But in 2019, I mean, there was none of the problems that we saw in 2020, really, that I can remember. So again, acquired on a minor league deal. And it would be one thing if you just found one player like this and that was that. That would be maybe a little bit of luck. But when you also have Alex Dickerson, you also have Mike Yastrzemski, all of whom were acquired for almost nothing and now are probably the best players on the Giants, or at least the best offensive players. Like if you look at the projected batting order for the Giants, of course, anyone can guess what the order will be, but you're talking like Mike Yastrzemski, Donovan Solano, Alex Dickerson are your top three hitters, really. So yeah, I went probably a little too long on Solano, but I want to just briefly, I guess, discuss Dickerson and Yastrzemski in the second half of the show. And then we're also going to look at how I think it's vitally important that the Giants are showing these signs of life and the ability to churn out and develop these types of players at almost no cost, and how it bodes very well for the future. So that's all coming up next, but first I want to talk about our good friends over at Built Bar. If you know me, you know that I love these bars. The taste is definitely the best part, but if you're a health-conscious person like me, the real kicker is that somehow they're very low in calories and low in sugar. I would not be eating a protein bar, frankly, that's high in sugar, but Built Bar manages to taste like a candy bar and be extremely low in sugar. Just to give you an example, the Cookies and Cream bar has 17 grams of protein and just 130 calories and 4 grams of sugar. Built Bar has even reset the promo code for this relaunch. For a limited time, you can also get a free cooler with your purchase while supplies last. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON and you'll get 20% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com. One reason to repair and maintain your cars is to save money that you can then use on more important things like the mortgage or food. Why would you choose to spend 30, 50, 100% more for the exact same auto parts at a chain store or new car dealership? Random example, a fuel pump assembly for a 2005 to 2010 Honda Odyssey costs $353.99 at Advance, which is a big chain store, and only $216.79 at rockauto.com. Rockauto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same auto parts? Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. All right, as promised, here in the second half of the show, I want to just talk about Alex Dickerson and Mike Yastrzemski. So, I mean, the point was that these guys are on these top 10 lists. So I'll say about Dickerson that he came in as the number 8 left fielder in baseball on the Shredders list. And I'm just going to say, too, I talked about Mike Petriello, an analyst for MLB.com who appears on these shows. He didn't have Solano on his top 10 list, but he did have Tommy La Stella. And I would agree with that. I don't know that I would put Solano in there just because of the unsustainability. I would expect him to come down to earth a little bit, but still be a useful player. And at the very least, should be able to hit left-handed pitching well on the weak side of a platoon, as opposed to being more of an everyday impact player. And in left field, I don't think Petriello had Dickerson on his list, but he did name Dickerson as a just missed candidate, so just barely outside of the top 10. So that's a big deal. I mean, the Giants, how did they acquire Dickerson? Well, it was a minor trade in the middle of the 2019 season where the Giants sent relief pitcher, minor league relief pitcher, Franklin Van Gerp to the Padres. And, I mean, what has Dickerson done with the Giants? Well, he's done nothing but be 40% above average offensively. He's hit .294 with a .361 on base and .552 slugging in 341 plate appearances across 108 games. He's only taken 30 plate appearances against left-handed pitchers, and he's been league average offensively, but he's been 42% above average against right-handed pitching. So there's just no other way of saying this. Dickerson has been an impact bat. I mean, we've all seen it. If you've watched any Giants baseball, you've seen Dickerson in the middle of the lineup being an impact bat. He struggled a little bit out of the gates in 2020, but then he just went on a tear for the remainder of the season. So yeah, I mean, 40% above average, it speaks for itself. I've called him the poor man's Jock Peterson, and it's become even more true than I could have imagined. He really is. There's a case to be made that he's better than Jock Peterson, or at least that his contract status combined with his performance is more valuable. He's still arbitration eligible, signed for just $2.1 million this season and under team control for an additional year. So with Solano and Dickerson, you would start to see a trend with the Giants being able to identify undervalued talent. And this also goes back, if we're talking about Farhan Zaidi, who of course is running the Giants, we've known that he has a track record of doing this with the other organizations he's been a part of, the Oakland A's and the Los Angeles Dodgers. He was the guy who sought out Max Muncy, who was with the A's when Farhan Zaidi was there, by the way. And then, you know, Zaidi apparently like texted Muncy and tried to encourage him to join the Dodgers, and they signed Max Muncy on a minor league contract. And then he got an opportunity and he's become a star and an elite offensive player. So I don't know what Farhan Zaidi is doing, but he does it damn well. I mean, to be able to find Muncy, Dickerson, Solano, and then Yastrzemski, that's just there's not a lot of track record of anybody in the game who's been able to do that. So the Giants are very fortunate, I think, to have him running the show. And we don't know who the next guys are going to be who make that leap. But this is a pattern. It is not just luck. I've heard some people say, you know, they could do it too if they tried out all these different players like the Giants have, and you're bound to just get lucky and find good players. Well, that doesn't happen on other teams. I mean, maybe they don't try as many players, but it's just not true that if you just try a bunch of random players, some of them are going to become as good as Muncy and Yastrzemski and Dickerson. Clearly, there's an ability to identify undervalued talent. So moving to Yastrzemski, the top 10 right fielders right now show hasn't aired yet, I don't think, because I couldn't find the list anywhere. But I have no doubt that Mike Yastrzemski is going to make an appearance on that list. And just briefly, I mean, we all know, what has Yastrzemski done? Well, he's played 161 games for the Giants, basically a full season, 638 plate appearances. He has 31 homers, 281 average, 357 on base, 535 slugging. That's 34% above average by weighted runs created plus, and he's produced 4.8 Fangraphs wins above replacement, which is just star level production. 5 wins above replacement in a full season is really, really good. You know, Mike Trout might be in the high single digits, 8, 9, and he's the best player in the game by far. So if you're at 5, I mean, 5 is certainly all-star caliber. And that's not to say necessarily that that's Yastrzemski's true talent level. We don't know exactly what he's going to do moving forward, but he's been great. Just looking back on what he has done, he's been great. And, you know, watching his at-bats against left-handed pitching too, he's looked really good against lefties. He hit some huge homers against lefties, including the walk-off splash hit against Matt Strom of the Padres. He homered off Clayton Kershaw. So Yastrzemski, I mean, I wrote an article for Beyond the Box Score called Mike Yastrzemski Looks Like a Star. And I wrote that in the first couple of weeks of the 2020 season. And it really came to pass. I mean, again, it's still too early to say definitively what to expect from him throughout the rest of his career. And he is already 30 years old, but he's under team control through 2025. So, man, I mean, there's just so much value in being able to find a player like this and get this elite production. He's earning the league minimum. I mean, I hate to say it. I wish that he could be paid more, and he will when arbitration comes around for him. But, you know, the Giants are getting so much production. They're basically like getting Bryce Harper-like production for the league minimum when Harper himself signed a $330 million contract. So if you can have a Yastrzemski and then sign a Bryce Harper, you know, you're getting like 2 for the price of 1 there. And that's kind of the concept of how you can build an elite team at some point. So I just want to contrast that. I mean, this is what the Giants are going through. Plus, they have a farm system that is becoming among the best in the game. Plus, they're going to have all kinds of money to spend moving forward. They have almost no financial commitments beyond this upcoming year. And if you contrast that with what we're seeing with a lot of teams around baseball who are being super inactive, selling off their good players like the Cubs, trading Yu Darvish, just as an example, and then the Rockies, this Nolan Arenado press conference they held with their owner and GM was just stunningly awkward and strange and just depressing. They basically paid the Cardinals to take Nolan Arenado and got very little in return. And they've got a bad farm system. Their free agent signings have been disastrous. They've spent like $160 million under their current GM, and those players have produced a total of like half a win above replacement per Fangraphs. So as I'm saying, Yastrzemski has put up 5 wins above replacement and obviously is costing them the league minimum. I'm not saying that I'm excited about a player only making the league minimum, but just as an example, 5 wins above replacement making the minimum, Rockies spending $160 million and getting half a win above replacement from those players. Plus, they have a great player like Arenado, and they pay another team to take him away. So the Giants, if you're a Giants fan, there's certainly like some things you're probably not happy about. The cost of going to a game and buying concessions, some of the behaviors of Charles Johnson, and, you know, 4 straight losing seasons. But there's really so much to be thankful for and excited about looking forward. And the Giants are in really good hands with Farhan Zaidi, in my opinion. And they're going to get to that level where they're competitive, certainly with the Padres and also probably with the Dodgers at some point here in the next few years. So that's my opinion. I definitely stand by that. We shall see. Nothing is ever certain in this game, but that's what I've got. So thank you so much for listening. We'll do a mailbag tomorrow unless there's some kind of breaking news with the Giants. So look out on Twitter for the prompt. You can follow me there at Ben Kaspic. That's K-A-S-P-I-C-K. If you enjoyed the show, please consider rating it or leaving a review wherever it is that you're listening. Thank you so much for listening. I can't wait to be with you again tomorrow. And until then, we'll see you next time.